Time to get the view from the Arizona side. Fortunate enough to have the guy covering the Wildcat beat for the Arizona Daily Star. Keep up online. Visit Tucson.com. Follow on Twitter. The handle is at Michael J. Lev. Michael, much appreciate the time. How's life?
Things are okay. How are you?
All righty. So as a first-time guest on our show, maybe a little personal angle, where do you hail from? Where'd you do your undergrad? And how long have you been doing this gig?
Oh, these are good questions. I am originally from Chicago, born and bred, lived there till I was 30 years old. I went to Northwestern, the other Wildcats, and moved to Southern California to work for the Orange County Register when I was 30. Worked there from 2000 to 2015, covering USC and the NFL, and have been covering the Arizona Wildcats since December of 2015
All right.
In Tucson, which is my wife's hometown.
Awesome. A little nicer weather, I'd imagine, as well, compared to Evanston.
Well, it just depends on the time of year. You know, we don't really have the fall colors here, which I kind of miss, but, you know, once it gets to be December, January, February, there's no place I'd rather be than out here.
No, it's a beautiful thing. I'm actually from Jersey. I love the fall colors, but 22 degrees and sleet doesn't really do it for me. Let's start with the quarterback situation, which introduced America to the magnificent Khalil Tate. You wrote in mid-August what Rich Rodriguez said, that it took Brandon Dawkins 4 years to achieve his status as a returning starter, Tate a year and a half to backup, and then all of a sudden, he ends up the starter. My question is, how tight was the race this summer leading up to those first three non-conference games at quarterback?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think it was tight, but it was always clear, in Rich Rod's mind anyway, that Brandon was ahead. And when you watch how well Khalil Tate has played here, you know, over these last 6 weeks, you scratch your head. Like, how could that be possible? And there's a couple things in play. One is that, you know, Khalil is still really young. He was a 17-year-old freshman last year, had very little experience. He just didn't really have a resume out there that you could look at and say, okay, this is what this guy can do. The other thing is that Khalil wasn't a great practice player. And that is that's the biggest basis that the coaches have to judge things on. They're the body of work in practice. And some guys, they're just not great practice players. They're gamers. And I think Khalil Tate falls into the latter category, and I think that's why there was some separation between him and Brandon Dawkins during the off season. Why it was hard to see, and in retrospect, it seems crazy, but that's how things played out.
Yeah, and obviously then he comes in against Colorado, rewrites the record book, and has been the guy since. But I'm curious, that's kind of a tough pill to swallow for Brandon. In your observations, talking with his position coach, Rod Smith, how has he handled a pretty difficult circumstance now being on the bench as a second stringer?
Yeah, it is a difficult situation. A lot of people here were pining for a change. This is kind of what happens in any given fan base when the team isn't living up to their expectations, or there are some struggles at the quarterback position. And Brandon was a very good runner in his own right. I mean, he rushed for almost 950 yards last season. He is an explosive athlete, not quite as explosive as Khalil Tate, not as efficient of a passer, and Arizona was 2-2 through four games. All that being said, he was still the starter going into week five against Colorado, and he got hurt early in that game, and that's what prompted the quarterback change to happen. He's handled it extremely well. He's a classy kid. He's always been a team-first guy. He's always said that, you know, whether he's first on the depth chart or 10th, it's not going to change his approach, his attitude, his effort. And from what I've heard from people inside the program, that has been the case. Nothing has changed about him. He has lent his support to Khalil, and it's a really nice luxury to have a veteran backup quarterback, as you guys up there in Eugene know. When you lose your starter and you don't have a good backup, your season could really unravel.
Now, that's a great point. As we continue with Michael Lev of the Arizona Daily Star, one of the things we usually hit on when a team is coming to Eugene is the volume. It's notorious. Once upon a time here, they had no audibles at Autzen t-shirts and bumper stickers. And you tweeted about it today. What steps are the Wildcats taking to counter the noise? And maybe is it safe to say that maybe they're offense is built to kind of counter a crowd anyway?
Yeah, they use a lot of nonverbal communication, a lot of hand signals, the snapping. I think a lot of teams use the clap these days to signal when it's time to snap the ball out of the shotgun formation. And for whatever reason, the clap seems to carry over the din. But all that being said, they haven't faced anything like what they're going to face Saturday in Eugene. It's definitely the loudest venue in the Pac-12. It's one of the best and most hostile, environments to play in all of college football. There's also going to be the weather factor. Khalil and the Wildcats, their first game, as mentioned, was at Colorado. And that was homecoming for the Buffaloes, and that's also kind of a relatively intimate venue, but not quite on the level of Autzen Stadium. They played in front of about 70,000 fans at USC, which is another tough venue, but it's much more spread out. It doesn't have the intimacy that you'll find at Autzen, nor the decimal level. So I think this is going to be a huge challenge for them. I'll be really interested to see, if there are any false start penalties, those sorts of things that get them behind the chains early in this game. Khalil has proven that he can be an effective passer, but he hasn't been in a lot of must-pass situations. A lot of the effective downfield passing that they've been able to do is off of play action or with the defense expecting them to run. If they're forced to pass, it could be problematic.
I want to actually get to that, the offensive line, and it looks like aside from the 3 weeks in a row with Colorado, Utah, and UCLA, the position coach, Jim Mihalchek, has started the same five those weeks Cody Creason started. Very experienced. The lone underclassman is the center, Nathan Eldridge, who started all 12 games last year. This group, what are their strengths? How well have they been playing?
They've been really good. They are, as you mentioned, a very experienced unit. Four of the five are going to be leaving after this year. Two are redshirt, fifth-year seniors. One is a fourth-year senior. One is a redshirt junior who has elected to stop playing football after this year to go to law school. He's a very smart guy, a biochemistry major. Huh. Nathan Eldridge, the center, is a redshirt sophomore. All of them came into the season with ample starting experience, some of them with several years of starting experience, and they've really gelled. You mentioned how there's really been only one lineup change. Well, that's with Cody Creason and Gerhard DeBeer at right tackle, and those guys have been alternating anyway, so whoever starts doesn't really matter. Like, every two series, they switch. That's been kind of the underlying story behind the tremendous offensive success that Arizona has experienced this season, and that's the offensive line. That's where it all starts. Obviously, when you have someone like Khalil Tate and some of the other weapons they have, you're going to be capable of making some explosive plays, some downfield runs, but it all starts up front, and that's really the critical element for this team. Maybe besides Tate, the biggest difference between this year's offense and last year's.
Talk Wildcat football with Michael Lev, Arizona Daily Star. I thought what you wrote Monday was pretty telling. From game one until he was injured against UCLA, you had Scotty Young, a true freshman from San Diego, starting at safety. It looks like he might be back. But to go a step further, what did Coach Rodriguez have to say about this freshman class and the impact they've had on this defense under the coordinator, Marcel Yates?
Well, they were hoping that the class would have the sort of impact that it has had. But, you even though you like the prospects, you like what the guys look like in training camp, you're really not sure. And that's been kind of the message from Rich Rod. Like, I thought they'd be good, but I wasn't totally sure they'd be good. And they have been really good. They have started, as many as four true freshmen on their defense this year. If Scotty Young Jr., is healthy, he would probably be the fourth guy joining linebackers Colin Schooler, whom you guys know up there because his brother Brendan plays for the Ducks.
Sure.
And the other linebacker is Tony Fields. Kylan Wilborn is playing the stud position, which is a defensive end linebacker hybrid spot, and he leads the team in tackles for losses and sacks. And they needed an injection of talent and playmaking ability on this defense. It's not a perfect or finished product by any means. They have had struggles the last few weeks. Before the Oregon State game, they gave up more than 600 yards to USC. They gave up more than 600 yards to Washington State. You know, they were able to win one of those games. They've been a little bit too reliant on turnovers, and they certainly could have some problems, I think, up there if Justin Herbert plays. But it's a much better defense than it was last year and probably the year before that as well. This is all the culmination of a multi-step process that Rich Rod put in place shortly after the 2015 season ended. He turned over the entire coaching staff to get some new ideas and also some new guys out on the recruiting trail, and all of those efforts are starting to come to fruition this year.
And lastly, I always like to get the buzz surrounding the Ducks. You spend time around the guys, talking with the coaches, and obviously I'm sure you saw some games on TV. But from what you've seen and heard, what kind of Oregon team are the Cats expecting to face on Saturday, and are they anticipating Justin Herbert being in there?
Yeah, well, I mean, Richard said Monday that they're going to prepare for both quarterbacks. I mean, reading all the stories out of Eugene and sort of reading the tea leaves, it certainly sounds like there's a very good chance that Justin Herbert's going to come back. As you know, if he plays, it's a huge difference. You know, I mean, you guys were, the Ducks were on their way to being a contender, I think, in the Pac-12. If he had remained healthy and the offense has been a totally different and less efficient, less multidimensional unit with him out of the lineup. I think regardless of who the quarterback is, the biggest concern from Arizona's side is Royce Freeman. When teams run downhill at Arizona, it has been a problem for them. And I would expect, even if Herbert plays, for a heavy dose of Freeman and that running game, I mean, I'd be shocked if he didn't get at least 20 to 25 carries. That's how I would go about doing it. On the other side of the ball, a lot of praise for Jim Leavitt, the first-year Oregon defensive coordinator, what he's been able to do in a short period of time. Obviously, he knows what it's like to go up against this Arizona offense, having been at Colorado, facing it for a couple of years there, so I'm sure he'll have a good plan in place. I think this is going to be a really tough game for Arizona. You know, maybe other than USC, the toughest game that they've faced since Khalil Tate became the quarterback, but there's also this sense that if you have Khalil on your side, you have a chance in every game. So we'll see what happens on Saturday.
All right. Good insight and information. Great stuff. He is Michael Lev of the Arizona Daily Star, online, Tucson.com, on Twitter, at Michael J. Lev. Hey, Michael, you travel safe to and from Eugene, and we really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Take it easy.